You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit realchicago.com.
If you're with me, I'd love for you to join with me in Luke chapter 21. When you read Luke chapter 21, you don't come away with hope. When you read Luke chapter 21, you're depressed. It's like the end of the Empire Strikes Back movie in Star Wars. Han Solo is frozen. You're not sure what's going to happen to the characters. What's going on? What are our choices? How are we going to do these things? And Jesus just is super honest and real. Jesus just shares out, hey, let me talk to you guys about where you're getting your hope from. And let me tell you where your hope needs to come from. So right now, if you're on the Facebook app and you've got that thing going on, I want you to put in the chat, where do you derive your hope? Now, I know some of you guys are going to write Jesus. Awesome. Great answer. But let's go deeper. What are other things that you derive your hope? Is your hope that you'd be booked out through June? Is your hope that you'd get a new job? Is your hope that your children will leave your home? Is your hope that you will have children? Is your hope that you'll get married? Is your hope that you'll get a job? Is your hope going on vacation this next summer? Is your hope that it doesn't snow this year? Like, what is it that you derive your hope from? And let me be super honest with you. You have been programmed to get your hope from little itty-bitty events that are about to come into your life. Is your hope to have a big wedding, have tons of people come and celebrate you? Is your hope to throw a birthday party? Is your hope that your Dallas Cowboys will actually get it together and one day return to the Super Bowl? Like, what is your hope? Well, you could be a Patriots fan and you're with the Cowboys now. So, sorry, I know that's too real in this moment. It's too real. But you know what? We can love each other in this process. What I'm asking you guys to do is put in there, what's your hope? And I want you guys to read through. What did other people write in hope? What was your hope? Was your hope that you'd do a staycation? Was your hope that you'd get a new appliance? Was your hope that you would get a new car? And then when you got that item or that event or that, what did you think it was going to bring to you? What did you think it was going to do to you? Well, if you look at our world and our marketing teaches you that if you just get this, you will feel love. If you just get this, you will be fulfilled. If you just order on Amazon and you get an Amazon package with a smile on the outside, you will be bringing a smile inside of your house, and you'll be bringing debt, and you'll be bringing credit card payments, and you'll be bringing tons of junk inside your home that you didn't get rid of anything else, and now you've become a hoarder. Like, what is your hope in the process? And read through some of the things that people write with their hope. My feeling is that you'll be like, oh yeah, I've had that hope, and I've had that hope dashed. Oh yeah, I've had that hope, and I've had that hope dashed. Oh yeah, I thought if I did that, then I thought I would. And that's the part of what we do as humans, is we focus our hope on the wrong things, thinking we're going to get an outcome that actually will benefit us. And in Luke chapter 21, Jesus goes right after our hope. Jesus starts out in the very beginning. I'm going to teach a little bit more on that here in a second. But Jesus starts out in the beginning when he talks about wealth and talks about your devotion to God. And then Jesus goes into the temple and how you think this is the ultimate, that this is the biggest. And Jesus goes, this temple's going to be destroyed. This temple's going to be torn down. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit. And Jesus goes on and says, everything's going to be removed and destroyed, and it's going to be thrown to the side. And you're thinking, that's not awesome, Jesus. Well, how in the world is that hopeful? And Jesus talks about, I'm your hope. I'm your hope. Put your hope in me. And what we have to realize as humans is we keep putting our hope in different spots, hoping that it's going to work out, hoping that it's going to be better, hoping that this thing's going to work. I remember years ago, the lottery was up to like $425 million. And I thought, I'll play. And I went in with my $20. I paid my $20 and I got all the tickets that I came home. And I sat and I waited for 7 o'clock to come. And I hoped that my numbers would come up. And as the numbers were shared on the screen, my hope turned to destruction. None of the numbers on any of my tickets came up. And I thought to myself, I'll never do that again. But then the lottery got even higher. And I thought, this is the one. All hope. Think of all I could do with this. Think of all I could give to God's kingdom. Think of the fun stuff that I could do with using all that God has given me. Just think how amazing that would be. And I'm thinking, man, that would be something that I would want to do, something that I could bless people with. Think of how you've talked yourself into your hope, that you've just thought if you just received this, it would make your life better. And oh, it would improve everybody else around me too. And what Jesus is talking about here in Luke 21 is you've put your hope here, you've put your hope here, you've put your hope here. It's not going to work. You need to put your hope in me being Jesus. So, where's your hope? Where have you put your hope? Have you put your hope in your children? That your children, that they will go to school and they will learn and they will grow and they will become a doctor or a lawyer and they'll have tons of money and they're your retirement and they'll take care of you. Your ego, maybe you weren't able to play sports, you weren't on the big team, you weren't able to achieve great things. And so you've put that pressure on your children that they have to achieve great things, that they somehow have to complete what you couldn't accomplish. Maybe you have a boss. Maybe you have somebody around you who just keeps putting hope on you, hoping that you will work harder and better and faster and smarter and with greatness and bring glory into your company so that they can receive more and you might be able to get a gold star on your little chart. Is your hope that you'll get a pay raise? Where is your hope? Is your hope that you won't get COVID? Is your hope that you have great insurance? Is your hope that you'll have phenomenal retirement? Is your hope that your pastor will actually start reading scripture? Like, what is your hope? Where do you have it? Is your hope in the temple? At this point in time, Herod had built up this beautiful temple. That the temple that God built with Solomon, this temple was even more gorgeous, more grand, even larger, bigger, stronger, better, higher. Herod took beautiful marble and he set it on the outside of the temple. Herod took Persian gold and he leafed it all over the temple in silver. And he got Persian tapestries and he hung them up. He put art pieces inside of the temple and he made this place amazing. More beautiful than the Art Institute. More beautiful than the White House. More beautiful than the Capitol of the United States of America. More gorgeous than the Smithsonian. And people came to it looking at the grandeur of it, thinking, look how great we are. Look at where we worship. Ah, do you put your hope in your church, that your church, because of what it looks like and what it does, that makes it so amazing and that makes you so amazing? Is that where you derive your hope? Jesus walks in and he's looking at it and he's seeing, this isn't what I had planned for this. This is something that God is going to tear down. This is an idol that God is going to destroy, and he's going to destroy it so that you can actually connect with him, that you would have hope that you could be in relationship with the Father, just as the Son is in relationship with the Father. Is your hope that you would have a relationship with God? Is your hope that you would be connected to God? And let me help you out. If your hope is that you would be connected to God, that would mean that you would need God. So that means that there's going to be things in your life because you're a human and you get distracted and other commercials come in and market to you to get your hope somewhere else. There's got to be the thing that draws you back to your king. And one of the things that helps you get drawn back to your king is having your temple destroyed. Realizing that you were worshiping a false idol. You were not in relationship with the true king. I was talking to my daughter last night and we were talking about makeup and she was having a conversation with me about my feelings and about my wife and the makeup and they had done makeup on my wife and was I happy that my wife was wearing makeup? And I said, no, I love Danielle genuinely with who she is and what she looks like without makeup. I love a beach Southern California girl. A beach Southern California girl can't have makeup on because she went in the ocean. It's not going to work. Okay? That's what I love about her. And so what I was talking to my daughter about is, so what you're saying to me is you've made my wife into something she's not so that I would like something that she's not. That when I actually get her with what she is, I'd be dissatisfied. That's not what I want. I want the genuine, real thing. And that's what I want with my king. I want the genuine, real thing. I don't want the fake thing. That's not what I want. Jesus is walking in the temple. He's walking in the temple grounds. He's got his disciples around him. In chapter 21, Jesus is right in the heart of the temple. He's come from Bethany. He's walked out of Mary and Martha's house and Lazarus's home. He's come down into Jerusalem and he's teaching inside of the temple. And in chapter 21, verse 1, Jesus observes what's actually happening in the temple. This is not a parable. Jesus looks, sees what's going on, and makes a comment on it. And we jump in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4 first, and then we're going to skip to the end to 34 and 38, and then I'll tie it all together. Verse 1. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. Not just one person, the rich people putting their gifts in the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. Let me pause for a moment. There would have been a big, huge coffer right in front of the temple and the temple grounds, to the left and to the right. And people would have come in and they would have put their gifts into this big, huge box. And the rich would have poured it loud. So you would have heard all these coins trinkling and hitting like a pachanga. Bing, ding, 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 ding. Whoa, winner. And then in another box, a precious widow walked forward with two tiny little itty-bitty coins and dropped them in the box. And with that widow, you would have heard tink, tink. And Jesus stops and he looks at it and he starts to judge what's going on. And he's saying the rich have come in and they've taken their gift and they're trying to expand themselves to make them seem more important, to make them seem strong. And they're dumping their gift into the box. And they want prestige because of what they've given. They want honor in God's house because of what they've given. And Jesus is saying, this isn't right. Jesus isn't even talking about money. Jesus isn't even having a conversation. He's talking about your heart and where your hope is. You see, these rich people, their hope was is that they would get even more influence, that they would get even more Instagram followers, that they would get even more likes on TikTok. I don't even know if there's likes on TikTok. I don't watch TikTok. I just know that it's a thing. So Jesus is observing what's happening. And then he turns and he looks at this precious woman who walks over and she drops in what would have been a day's wage. Verse 1/30th of what she had. She drops it in. Verse 3, and he said, truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Now pause. I'm not talking about finances. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about you need to give more. No, we're not going into a money sermon. That's not what Jesus is talking about either, but he's using money to describe what's going on. You see, the rich were showing up and they had the wrong heart. And let me help you out. We're the rich. We don't fall into the widow poverty category. We live in the United States of America. Even the poor of the poor in America are rich in the world's eyes. I get it. That's a painful statement to make. Leave America. Go on a missions trip. Go serve a developing country and have your worldview blown up. That doesn't mean that we don't care for who's here in America. But what I'm trying to say is when we look at this story, you and I are not the widow with the one coin. You and I are the rich that come into the church wanting the importance, wanting to be heard, wanting to be seen, feeling like, well, I have a good voice and I want to give special music to the church. Can I please sing? And the pastor go, no. And then you're, well, we're going to withhold our tithes and our offerings. Ooh, ooh, leverage. Look at you, political. You've got to be careful in this process. What Jesus is saying about the rich is they were coming into God's temple and sacrificing nothing. it was not difficult for them to do what they did. That was very easy for them to do. And what Jesus is talking about, I'm going to jump to point number one and I'll bring it up here again. Don't worry about putting it on the screen. I'll just say it. We'll stay in the scripture. What Jesus is talking about is he wants full commitment. He wants all of you. He wants you all in. He wants you full in relationship. He wants every part of you. He wants your time. He wants your talent. He wants your treasure. And he wants you to depend on him. And what Jesus was saying in the situation was these rich people were putting their hope in their money. These rich people were putting their hope in their status. These rich people were putting hope in their ability to show off. And that's not where the widow was putting her hope. The widow was putting her hope in God Almighty, that God Almighty would care for her. The widow was giving away what she had, depending on God giving it back and blessing it and making it bigger. That's what God is saying to you and I, is he wants us to put our hope in him in a place where if God doesn't show up, it's not going to go well. That's ministry. Ministry is depending on God. Ministry is trusting on God. Ministry is at the very end, you could say just like Israel, if God didn't show up, we wouldn't have. There's a beautiful psalm that just repeats that again and again. Talks about Israel. If God wouldn't have shown up, Israel would never have gotten out of slavery. If God didn't show up, they never would have walked through the sea. If God would have shown up, they never would have had food in the desert. If God wouldn't have shown up, there's no way they could have gone in the promised land. If God wouldn't have shown up, there would have been no way that they would have had food. But that's not a place where I want to go. I don't want to go into a place where I have to depend on God. I want to go into a place where I don't have to depend on God, and I get to walk into God's temple like a rich person and throw money in and think God needs to be blessed that I showed up. That's the wrong type of hope. That hope is built on the flesh. That hope is built in me that I can do it and I can make it happen. Verse 4, for they contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on. In poker terms, she went all in. And she went all in and had no cards. She didn't go all in with a straight flush. She didn't go all in with a full house. She didn't go all in with two pair. She went all in with nothing, depending on God Almighty. And that's hard. That's difficult. But what Jesus is saying is that's what he loves. That's what he appreciates. Jesus continues to teach in the temple, talking about the temple, talking about this temple's going to get destroyed. You guys think it's beautiful. You think it's lovely. You think that you're great and strong as Israel because of this temple. And I'm telling you, this temple's nothing. It'll be torn down. And people get upset. They get upset that Jesus points out they have idols. They get upset that Jesus points out their hopes in the wrong spot. Jesus isn't done yet. Jesus, with his kind, soft, tender words that builds a mega church. No, Jesus is offending everybody all over the place. Verse 34, Jesus continues on in Luke 21. He becomes this, he says, but watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness, super headaches, and totally inebriated, totally just checked out, drugged. That you are not weighed down by dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of life. That and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. He's talking about the day of destruction. He's talking about the end of the world. He's talking about end times. Jesus is saying, you're putting in all this hope that you can avoid the end times. Now, I'm a surfer. I believe in ecology. I'm a surfer. I believe in taking care of the earth. I'm not cool with climate change, But I want you guys to understand, from the moment Adam and Eve sinned and they went out of the garden, the earth started decaying and was going to be destroyed. And no amount of science and no amount of human effort and flesh work is going to work to stop the process of where God wants the world to go. That doesn't mean that we should just throw our trash on the ground. That doesn't mean we should burn massive amounts of fossil fuels. No, that's not what I'm saying. But for us to believe that we can put our hope in things that are going to keep the end of the world from coming, that's the wrong hope. Put your hope in the right spot. The end of the world is coming. Christ is the only one who can save you. You're like, Pastor, this isn't very hopeful. You're scaring me. Yes, that's what the world is doing right now. Notice it said it in verse 34, and the cares of this life. You're getting preached at you right now. COVID, 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 COVID. You're getting preached at you right now. Trump, 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 Trump. You're getting preached at you right now. Biden, 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 Biden. You're getting preached at you right now. Barrett, 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 Barrett. You're getting preached at you constantly. Fear, fear, fear. And Jesus is saying, that's nothing to be afraid of. What you need to be afraid of is when I return and you're not with me. What you need to be afraid of is if you put your hope in the wrong spot and you don't put it with me. He says, on that day, it will come suddenly like a trap. Once COVID came out, I had a couple people reach out to me, emails, phone calls, text messages. Pastor Nathan, is this the end of the world? Is it all coming to an end? I said, no. Yes. This right now is not bad enough. But let me help you out. Have you ever read a book and gotten halfway through the book? And once you get halfway through the book, you open the book and you realize that you are now going towards the end of the book. That when you first started the book, you were working your way towards the middle, and there was so much that was going on that you were still in the beginning. But you got halfway through the book and you turned the middle of the page, and now you're in the second half of the book. You are now in the end times of the book. That's where we are at in humanity. Beginning of creation is Genesis. The middle of the story is Jesus on the cross, his death, and the moment that he was raised and went up to be with Christ, we are now in the end times. If we go to be with God, we are now in the end times. We're not in the first half of the book. We're in the latter half of the book. That's where we're at. And Jesus is saying, don't let this get sprung on you. Just before the statement, he said, you can look at a fig tree. Here in Chicago, we can do the same thing. I can tell the weather. I can look at the trees and see all the leaves are falling off, and I know winter's coming. I can look at the bright, 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 beautiful red trees that are all over Chicago and know that, man, fall is coming to an end and winter is coming. And another thing that I know what to do is later on, I can start to see the little itty bitty buds on the tree start to pop out. I can look at the ground and I can see the beautiful bulbs start to push through, and I know spring is coming. What Jesus is saying is you can tell the weather and you can tell the time of the season, but you can't pay attention spiritually. What I want you to understand is what Jesus is saying is get ready, love me, put your hope in me. That's where you need to be. And church, coming towards November 3rd, where all chaos, people are going to break loose just like they did 4 years ago. People are going to be depressed for 4 months, regardless of which candidate gets the win. Because people preach to you, here's your hope. If this person's elected, your life will be great. If this person's elected, you're going to a prison camp. Those are like the two options. Those are not true. Those are absolute lies. Our God, who loves you more than a bird, our God, who loves you more than grass, is going to care for you regardless of which candidate gets elected. And you've got to start preaching truth to yourself. You're having lies preached to you like you can't believe. You've got to preach the gospel to you. You've got to encourage you. Verse 35. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Nobody can avoid the end of the world. Nobody can avoid death. Nobody can avoid judgment. Nobody can avoid the final test that you have to take. The final test is, who's Jesus? And more importantly, who does Jesus think you think Jesus is? Verse 36, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things. Pray that you may have strength to escape all these things. What all these things? Going back up to numbing, going back up to drunkenness, going back up to trying to find party to fill your hope, going back up to feeling all the stresses and concerns that press against you, that scare you, that spook you, that cause you not to be able to rest and to sleep, that keep you going and exhaust you. Christian, are you exhausted? Pray that God would give you strength. What a beautiful prayer. God, would you please bless me with strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. God, would you bless me with strength to escape all the cares of this world and to stand in righteousness in front of your Son because of the work that he's done. God, would you do that? Don't put your hope in you. Put your hope in God. 37. And every day he was teaching in the temple. Luke just jumps right out of it. He's like, it's totally deep. 37. And Jesus was teaching in the temple. But at night he went out and lodged on the Mount of Olivet. And early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. 37 says, and Jesus was just going about life. Jesus just continued on. Jesus talks about what's going on, and then Jesus continues to be in relationship and friendship with Mary and Martha and with Lazarus. Jesus goes on a walk. He goes through the beautiful olive trees. He walks up and over the Mount of Olives down into Bethany, and then Jesus comes back in the morning in the temple and he teaches again. So how do we continue in everyday life and go through what we go through and still have our hope in the right spots? Point number one was God loves full commitment. The first key to having your hope in the right spot is giving full commitment. But at Real Church, you and I both know you can't do it. Old church would teach you, you be more committed. You use more of your flesh to be spiritual. You use more of your human strength and intellect and all of your stubbornness to be more like God. You do it. That's a bad teaching. That sounds like something Satan would teach. Jesus, on the other hand, would teach this. You can't do it, but I can. You can't do it. The Holy Spirit can. How about you invite the Holy Spirit? And how about you humble yourself and bow down and allow the Spirit of God to produce inside of you the fruits of the Spirit? To which I, in the flesh, answer, say, absolutely, God, I prayed once, get it all done now, 3 minutes. God goes, that's not how my kingdom works. You don't know that I talk all the time about a farmer. A farmer goes out and plants and waits for things to grow. I talk to you about a rancher who has animals and how the animals and things, those things take time, Nathan. Slow down, rest, and relax in the process. Just because you see the leaves falling off today doesn't mean full winter is going to happen tomorrow. It takes time. Relax. But God loves full commitment. He wants you to be like the widow who comes in and gives full commitment and full trust and full courage with him. That takes you and I praying for strength constantly. Write that out and get in your notes. Pray for strength. Pray for strength that you would have full confidence in God. And in the moment when you don't have confidence in God, that the Holy Spirit would remind you to pray again so that you might get full confidence again in God. You might pray 80 times in 4 minutes. That's okay. Keep asking God to do the work. Don't depend on the grandeur of the temple. Don't depend on your bank account. Don't depend on your intellect. Don't depend on your flesh to do a spiritual thing. Depend on God's Spirit to do it. That widow who came forward and put her money in was saying, God, you got to take care of me. God, you've taken care of me. You are taking care of me. you will take care of me. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. The rich person put their stuff in and said, look at what I've done. Look at how great I am. Look at all the things I provide. Look how I care for people inside of this church. That's not a good attitude. Notice Satan can sneak in and steal a precious gift from you so quickly. And Jesus doesn't want that. Point number one is God loves full commitment and he recognizes you and I can't do it, but he knows he can. Point number two, God sees you. God sees you. You know that precious widow probably didn't want to be seen. You know that precious widow probably felt incredibly awkward walking through the temple. You know, that precious widow probably had felt like all of her dreams and all of her hopes and everything that she wanted had just been taken from her. And she walked into the temple crushed, hoping that nobody would see her. Have you been there? And all she wanted to do was love her king. All she wanted to do was just tell her God, I love you. I feel alone. I don't have anybody around me, but I love you. And she took what she had and she gave it to God. Just like a little kid with fishes and loaves. Just like somebody else who just says, silver and gold, I don't have it for you. But what I've got is the good news of who Jesus Christ is. And this is the most hopeful thing you could ever have. She walks up to put in her stuff and Jesus looks up and sees her. And what I want you to know is right here, right now, God sees you. He's the God who sees. He's the God who's aware of all of your problems. He's the God who's aware of all of your hurts. He's the God who's aware of all of your hopes and your dreams. He's the God who made you. And he's looking at you and he sees you. And just the simple act of her praying, putting her money in, tiny coins as they were, asking God to give her strength, asking God to provide for her, asking God to care for her, Jesus is blown away at her faith. And what I want you guys to know is in those still small moments, Jesus didn't run over and tackle her and hug her and say, I'm so proud of you. It may have embarrassed her even more. So what Jesus did was he just looked and he saw. And I want you guys to know you serve a God who sees you. You serve a God who loves full commitment and he's given full commitment. You see a God and you know a God who sees you and loves you and wants you to see him. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to show himself to you. That's why he gave you his word. That's why he gave you his son. That's why he allows the Holy Spirit to move and for miracles to happen. He wants you to see him. But he wants you to have full commitment in the process because he's committed fully to you. And he wants you to see him as he sees you. Beautiful. Don't you ever feel sometimes you're not seen? Don't you feel sometimes forgotten, not listened to, not heard, not valued? Sure, you're human. It happens. And what I want you to know is you have a heavenly Father who's looking at each and every one of you right now, and he sees you. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. But he knows what will bless you and draw you closer to him and grow you into the man or woman of God that he's designed you to be individually and corporately for the body of Christ. He is developing you and he is growing you for eternity. You and I are in school right now. You and I are being trained in righteousness and holiness for eternity. That's cool. And Jesus is fully aware of what you and I need help on. He's still working on my times eights. He's still in that process. Point number one, God loves full commitment. Point number two, God sees you and he sees me. Point number three, Place God as your hope. Place God as your hope. You have to work on this. Just as much as you obsess about that next minivan that you want to buy for your family, just as much as you obsess about the next TV that you want to get this Black Friday, just as much as you obsess over the new home that you want to purchase, just as you obsess over the new car or the new dog or the new jacket, and you're looking at it and you're paying attention to it and you're putting your focus on it and you are creating inside of you this hope, take that same process that you're good at and put it on God. You have already been designed to worship and obsess. That's who you are as a human. Take that ability that you have, that you're putting on other idols that are hopeless, and actually move that ability and that strength onto what is hopeful. Put it there. Place God as your hope. Don't place your hope as numbing or partying or getting drunk or getting tons of food. Don't put your hope on that the news is somehow going to come up with an answer to all the problems they create so that you're more stressed out after you watched it. Okay? Don't do it. Place God as your hope. Pastor Nathan, I can't do that. Excellent. Excellent, 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 excellent. Brilliant. Pray to God for strength, that He will enable you to place Him as your hope. Don't use your flesh for a spiritual answer. By the way, President of the United States, flesh answer for a spiritual problem. New Superintendent of Police, flesh answer for a spiritual problem. You guys get what I'm trying to say? We need to be praying to God, asking Him to remain as our hope, to reveal Himself as our hope, for Him to continue to provide whatever level He wants to do, for Him to bless us with the courage to give back to Him, whatever level that is. Again, I don't want you guys walking away from this sermon going, okay, we got to look at our budget and see how much we're giving to God. That's not the answer in its entirety. That's a portion. How much of your thought are you giving to God during the day? How much of your thought are you giving to the Supreme Court? How much of your thought are you giving to COVID? How much of your thought are you giving to winter? How much of your thought are you giving to your kids? And then how much of your thought are you giving to God? That's what He's interested in. How much love are you talking to Him about? How thankful are you to Him? Spend time placing your hope in Him. God loves full commitment. God sees you. Place God as your hope. Here's a quote. Jürgen Moltmann, who is a phenomenal, phenomenal, amazing theologian from Germany, works in Christian theology. This is a quote that he says. He says, "The believer becomes essentially one who hopes. He is still future to himself, and is promised to himself. His future depends utterly and entirely on the outcome of the risen Lord's course. For he has staked his future on the future of Christ." I'm going to read it one more time, and I'm going to sort of explain it. The believer becomes essentially one who hopes. He is still future to himself and is promised to himself. His future depends utterly and entirely on the outcome of the risen Lord's course. For he has staked his future on the future of Christ. Have you staked your future on the future of Christ? Have you staked your future on your professors? Have you staked your future on your job? Have you staked your future on your spouses, your parents? Have you staked your future on tech? How about you realize where you've staked your future, move it over and put it on Christ? The one who everyone will bow down to. The one that every tongue will confess that He is Lord. The one that will all see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords come back to redeem all of His children and to take you to paradise. How about you stake your future on that person and not a donkey and not an elephant? That regardless of what happens next month, pre-voting, post-voting, Supreme Court, Jesus Christ is on the throne and the tomb is empty. Don't forget that, guys. Jesus Christ is on the throne and the tomb is empty. That means in the second half of the book, no matter what happens, you and I are good if we've staked our future in Christ. But Pastor, what if I haven't staked my future in Christ? What if it all depends on me? You have a problem again. You're using a flesh answer for a spiritual solution. It doesn't depend on you. It depends on Jesus. So thank God that it depends on Him. And then you're not going to be stressed out and worried. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Relax. Relax. Love Jesus. You and I must choose what is central to us. You and I must choose what our hope is going to be based on. You and I must choose where we're going to get our satisfaction from. Does your life center on drunken parties and the stresses of this world? Does your life depend on Netflix for the ability to numb? You're like, well, Pastor, I don't get drunk. I just watch 80 movies in a row on Netflix and I can't remember the night. That's you numbing. That means that you're hurting. Start placing God as your hope. Start singing worship songs. Start text messaging people about Jesus. Start Marco Poloing people, not about all your complaints. How about you start Marco Poloing people about all the great things that God has done? Just the words coming out of your mouth will change your brain. Practice it. Does your life center on Christ and waiting for His return in your life? Or does your life center on COVID and a vaccine? Does your life center on Thanksgiving and where you're going to eat a turkey? Does your life center on winter break? Does your life center on where you're going to go on vacation next summer? Does your life center on your retirement? Does your life center on whether your home is tipping, falling over, burning, or currently being built? I don't know. Where are you centering your life? I've tried to teach you over the last 5 years to center your life on thankfulness. I've tried to teach you to center your life on grace. I've tried to teach you to center your life on walking in the strength of the Lord. I've tried to train you on depending on the Holy Spirit and to wait patiently, be still, knowing that He is God, so that when He's ready, you can rise on wings of eagles. Put your wings out and let the wind of God lift you. You will run and not grow weary when He wants you to run. But if you're running and it's not time to run, you're going to get tired. She's like, you should be sleeping. Why are you running? I'm running for you, Lord. Lord, I'm showing you all the stuff I can do, like a rich person throwing tons of stuff inside of your coffers. Jesus is like, I don't need that. I want you to rest and sleep and wait. But God, I don't want to be obedient. God, I feel like you're moving into this whole master role where you're being in charge of me. And I don't know if you know, I'm American, I'm independent, and you don't get to tell me what to do, Lord. Hilarious. King, you don't get to tell me what to do. Master, you don't get to tell me what to do. No, Master, you do get to tell me what to do. Lord, you do get to tell me what to do. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. So here's our application. Pastor, help me out. Where do I get hope? Let me help you out. Let me help you get hope. Just watch the next commercial on TV and buy whatever beer is on. No, 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 no. Wait till the Toyota commercial comes on and buy that. No, no, no. Wear Patagonia, not North Face. No. Allbirds, those are the shoes that Jesus would have walked in. No, none of that stuff is true. So, Pastor, what do I need to do? Here's your application. Get to a place where you can hear God. Get to a place where you can hear God. Now, I don't know where your place is because everybody is different. Everybody's unique. We have different personalities. Some people feel really close to God when they're around other Christians. Some people feel really close to God when it's super quiet and the sun hasn't come up. That is not me, okay? Some people feel super close to God when everybody in the house has finally fallen asleep and the house is silent and you can just sit there before. That's me. I'm a late night close to God guy. get to a place where you can hear God. What that means is usually you've got to silence all the other voices that are in your ear. Turn off Netflix, get rid of Spotify, shut it down. Find 30 minutes where you can be silent. Now, I know some of you guys, 30 minutes to be silent, that'll cause chaos. Try 30 seconds. Set a timer, 30 seconds of nothing. The next day, do a minute of nothing. The next day, do a minute and 30 seconds of nothing. Start to build your endurance into a place where you push the world out and you just listen for God. Some of you go for a walk without your iPod, without your phone, have your phone for safety in your wallet, but don't be using it. Don't have it in front of you. Just walk. Get out of your house. Go for a walk in a safe place, please. Get to a place where you can see God. Get to a place where you can hear God. Get to a place where you can see God. And one of the things that I want you to recognize is that Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days to spend time with God. He goes to a place that's desolate. He goes to a place without tons of visual information and cues. He goes to a place devoid of stuff, which is completely opposite of our Western civilization. We try to surround ourselves with stuff so we feel hope. One of the things that they know and they've gone through is the more stuff you put inside of your home, the more trapped you feel. Yes, you feel like you have more, but you also feel like you have no space. So you feel trapped. The solution is to get rid of stuff. But the problem is stuff is how I feel important. We get messed up in that junk. So find a place where you can see God. For some people, that's going to a church. Being in service. For some people, that's going out into nature and seeing God's presence and his beauty. For me, when I was in Southern California, it was to go to the ocean. For me here in Chicago, it's to go to the lake. It's to see God's grandeur, something huge and bigger than me. I see God in it. Get to a place where you can trust God. Get to a place where you can trust God. Where you can put in your two coins, whether it's your time, your talent, your treasure. Where you can fully commit to God. Now you guys are thinking, well, okay, pastor, that means that I have to be poor. I have to give all my money to... No. Misteaching of scripture. Each of us individually, in our personalities, with how God has gifted and crafted us and developed us, is going to ask us to commit fully differently. For some of you, that's to stop giving your opinions. You need to commit fully just to being silent and being okay. Some of you, you need to commit to being led. Some of you, you need to commit to leading. Some of you, you need to commit whatever that looks like. Commit it all to the Lord. Fully. This is your car, God. This is your house. This is your, my spouse is yours. My children are yours. My pets are yours. Every single thing that I have. Pastor Dom preached last week so well. It's all his. Get to a place where you can place your trust in God. How can you do that? Go back and pray and ask God to bless you with strength. Ask him to do the work. Ask him to do the work and be patient and allow him to do it when he wants to do it. You don't get to go to the master and tell the master that he needs to do it in 5 minutes. The master gets to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Last quote as I close out with this. In 1834, Edward Mote was the pastor of Rehoboth Baptist Church in Horsham, West Sussex, in the United Kingdom. And he wrote this hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, and his blood support me in the overwhelming flood. When earthly prop gives way, he then is my hope and my stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. My prayer and my blessing over you who are listening, who are watching, who are part of Real Church, who are on the outsides of Real Church, who are connecting in, who are listening to the podcast, whatever, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, my blessing is that you, through the power of God Almighty, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through your willingness to humble yourself and ask God to place you on the solid rock, that you would be on the solid rock and stop looking to sinking sand for hope. Look to Jesus for your hope. Look to Jesus who's fully committed to you. Look to Jesus who fully sees you. Look to Jesus who absolutely is hope. Look to the one who can actually make changes in your life. And stand there. Stand there whether it's dark and you can't see his face. Stand there whether it's brilliant and there are highs and there's wonderful things that are going on there, that you aren't so distracted by the blessings that have come your way that you forget about your King. Or whether there's a storm that's raging, that you would remember your King and you would derive your hope from him. Church, may God keep you. May he love you. May his face shine upon you. May you find a place where you hear his voice, whether in scripture or whether in teaching. May you find a place where you see your God come alive and you see the activity of what he's doing. And that, church, you would come to a place where you can absolutely trust him, just like a precious widow. May God bless you. May his face shine upon you. And remember, the King is on the throne and the tomb is empty. It doesn't matter who's elected coming up on this next Tuesday in November. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful Sunday.